Welcome to KGNU's Morning Magazine. It's Thursday, May 12th of 2022. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, students at Denver's North High are planning a walkout tomorrow, calling on school administrators to keep a popular Chicano teacher on staff. And John Lindorf will be in the studio to catch us up on local food news. At the bottom of the hour, we'll have the BBC News headlines. Then it's Black Talk with Michelle Simpson. At 9:30, Cameron Henderson will be in the Boulder studio to bring you 2.5 hours of eclectic music with the Morning Sound Alternative. That's all still ahead. But first, these local and regional headlines with KGNU's Christian Garibay.
Colorado lawmakers reviewed a flurry of environmental bills Wednesday as they voted ahead of the midnight deadline that marked the end of the 2022 legislative session. House Bill 1244 would establish a new state program to regulate toxic air contaminants. The legislation is part of an effort to protect communities of color and low-income communities from industrial pollution. House Bill 1355, known as the Producer Responsibility Program for Recycling, also passed the Colorado Senate. The bill would require manufacturers to pay into a fund based on how recyclable their product packaging is. The goal is to reduce the amount of plastic going into landfills. Lawmakers say manufacturers should not make plastic recycling and disposal the responsibility of local communities. The bills will go to Governor Jared Polis next. The Colorado House agreed on a bill aimed to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from the buildings. KGNU's Steve Miller has more.
The bill, passed by the state Senate last week, was approved Wednesday by Colorado lawmakers in the House and was voted largely along party lines. The Democratic-led House Bill 221362 would require local governments to update codes that meet minimum standards for energy efficiency. The new bill is aimed at cutting climate pollution from new homes and commercial buildings. Building energy codes are a long-established tool for reducing energy use and utility bills, improving building durability, and reducing greenhouse gas emissions. Colorado is a home rule state where building energy codes, adopted and enforced at local level, are subject to a consistent set of statewide minimum requirements. The purpose of the Model Low Energy and Carbon Code is to minimize the overall carbon emissions associated with new homes and commercial buildings, while also considering home affordability. The bill creates a new 21-member Energy Code Board that will develop low energy and carbon code languages for cities and counties. The Energy Code Board will be co-chaired by representatives of the Colorado Energy Office and Department of Local Affairs. Governor Polis is expected to sign the bill. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
The state of Colorado will now pay you to replace your non-native grass. Luis Licon from KGNU has more.
The new water saving bill passed the state Senate this week with bipartisan support. The new law would pay property owners to remove and replace their ornamental non-native grass with more water-efficient landscaping. The Kentucky bluegrass, the most common grass for homeowners here in Colorado, currently uses more than half of all the water used in Colorado cities. If the bill is passed, it would create the statewide turf replacement program that would pay property owners to replace their lawns or offer matching dollars for the approximately 19 existing replacement programs already in place across the state. Turf replacement programs are nothing new. There have been programs implemented all across the American West and have shown success and have even saved many cities millions of gallons of water per year. If Polis signs the bill, the Colorado Water Preservation Board would have to create a program by July of 2023. Connor Cahill, a spokesperson for Governor Polis, did not say the governor would sign the bill, but would consider it once it arrives at his desk. For KGNU, I am Luis Licon.
Report of a student with a weapon prompted security measures at a local Longmont high school. According to a press release from the Longmont Police Department, at around 10 a.m. Tuesday, dispatchers received a call from one of the siblings of the juvenile concerned about his brother's welfare. They also were informed that a gun from the family's home was unaccounted for. When officers could not locate the student, they immediately put Silver Creek High School on lockdown alongside other schools in the area that were put on a secure status out of, quote, abundance of caution. Longmont Public Safety spokesperson Robin Erickson said that the juvenile was not a student at Silver Creek, and it is not believed any weapon was ever on school grounds. Police took the suspect and another juvenile who they believe had a connection to the incident into custody. Officials have reopened all of the schools. The pilot of a single-engine plane died Wednesday when his aircraft crashed in Broomfield next to an intersection. The Cessna 172 was a local flight out of Rocky Mountain Metropolitan Airport. Federal investigators are examining the wreckage. They are asking drivers to avoid the area near El Dorado Boulevard and Interlochen Loop where the crash occurred. Sunny throughout the Front Range today, a red flag warning is still in effect. Humidity is extremely low and wind gusts could reach 40 miles per hour in some areas. In Boulder, a high near 68 and a low around 43. In Denver, a high near 74 and a low around 45. In Fort Collins, a high near 68 and a low around 40. Outside the Boulder studio, it's 53 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Christian Garibay.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. Denver's North High School is having a moment of reckoning, sparked by a personnel decision to not rehire a popular Chicano teacher from the neighborhood. Students are organizing a walkout from the school tomorrow morning. KGNU's Jimmy Searfoss has more.
Tim Hernandez began teaching at North High during the pandemic and quickly won the respect of many colleagues, students, and parents who admire his engaged teaching style and can relate to him on a personal level.
I was interested in being a teacher at North High School. I still am interested in being a teacher at North High School because I'm interested in being an active participant in the solutions for young people in my neighborhood.
After a year and a half at North High School, administrators informed Hernandez last week that he had not interviewed well enough for a position he had already been hired for during the pandemic.
When I originally came to work at North, we were in virtual learning. We then later adjusted to hybrid learning, but when I applied originally, I was hired and accepted and interviewed well enough for a traditional teaching position. In May of last year, my school approached me and told me they did not have the available funds to hire me for a traditional position and asked me to take an associate position, which in Denver Public Schools, the associate position is a position that literally exists for the retention of teachers. It's for young teachers to take a reduced course load on for the purposes of expanding their professional development. And I took it because every associate teacher that has wanted to stay within our building historically has stayed.
News that his tenure at the school had been discontinued for the upcoming year stunned many in the community. Students are planning a walkout Friday morning to call on the school's leadership to keep him on staff.
Tim is a disruptor. Tim is somebody who forces the machinery of oppression to pause and reflect and deal with the situation in front of them. So I think it's very dire if he is not restored to a teaching position at North High School.
That's Gerardo Munoz, a social studies teacher at the Denver Center for International Studies at Baker in Denver Public Schools. He was also 2021's Colorado Teacher of the Year with more than 23 years of teaching experience.
You know, as a kind of veterano teacher who is evaluating next steps, it made me feel really good to know that there's another generation of young Chicano, Chicana, Chicanx teachers who are coming into our schools and just bringing this vibrancy and this engagement and this urgency to our communities. And that felt really assuring. You know, we have a real shortage in educators of color at every level of education in Colorado. Colorado is 88% white educators. We're almost 10% higher than the national average, and that's significant to know that most of our students who graduate from a Colorado high school have had one or fewer teachers of any color, let alone Latinx teachers, which make up the majority of most urban districts. And so it's extremely heartbreaking to me because we know the deep impact that we as teachers of color have. And this is not to say that white teachers don't have an impact. We know that there is an impact, but we do know the research on the power of having a talented, great, engaged educator of color. So this is a brilliant young teacher who could go teach anywhere he wanted to, and he wants to be in the community that he grew up in. And I think that's such a powerful thing. And so it really makes my heart hurt. It makes my heart hurt a lot. And I think it's also very frightening, not for me necessarily, but for other teachers of color to watch this happen.
For Hernandez, it is also a frightening lesson for his students about what happens when structures of power are questioned, even when those structures are institutions to empower educational advancement and enable social mobility.
I hope that our schools and districts are willing to remember that they do not serve administrators, that they do not serve people who are in positions of power. Our schools serve communities. Our schools serve students and parents. And if our parents and our students are asking and begging for something within their educational experience, I hope we remember our responsibility to provide it as a public education system. That education is a public service. It is not a business. It is not comparable to what happens in corporations. What happens in education is important because it lays the foundation of the future fabric of our society, teacher work conditions, our student learning conditions. If I am not valuable because I speak up, what is going to happen to my students who look like me, dress like me, talk like me when they speak up? And I hope that we are willing to listen at any point when that conversation comes.
Award-winning teacher Gerardo Munoz says that he's witnessed how the pandemic has profoundly affected the socio-emotional health of so many of his students. He says taking away a teacher students can relate to so profoundly in a time of uncertainty has implications beyond that of a simple personnel matter.
There's been an outcry across the community for around his removal, and students really, really expressing this outrage and this grief. There's going to be ripple effects. That's just in the short term. In the long term, it's catastrophic for the majority of the students at North High School. North is a bit of a flagship when it comes to our Latinx community. North, just like the neighborhood, it's in a struggle for its soul. And how do we continue to serve a community knowing that little by little, that community is being crowded out by skyrocketing costs of living and, you know, just inaccessibility to shelter? It's been really difficult. And, you know, to have a teacher like Tim be there one day and then not be there anymore is going to leave a big hole. And it's going to hurt the credibility of not only the school leadership, even though there will be a transition and there will be new leadership, it's going to leave a hole in the credibility of a staff. And I think that students will see that. They'll ask the questions, where were you when everything went down? Asking their teachers, asking. And I have those questions of the non-Latinx community in North Denver. This is your kids too. The ability to see other perspectives and to celebrate tradition isn't just for brown kids, it's for all kids. But because there are so few of us, black and brown teachers in this system in Colorado, every time one of us is removed from the picture just gets a little bit bleaker for our kids.
One of the ways teacher Tim Hernandez engages with his students is to apply literary teachings to lived experiences. In December, students from North High's Latinos in Action Club presented a book of poems at the neighborhood coffee shop, The Radiator. The book named Our Sacred Community was self-published with photocopies and staples and presented poetry slam style at a packed event. News director Shannon Young attended the event, and we end on an excerpt from a sound collage that aired December 13th on The Morning Magazine.
My name is Martin. I'm a senior here at North High School. As the water flows new, it poisons the roots and foundations we grew. As the poisonous water flows through, our culture and home has been broken through. As the birds in the sky once flew, so did the memories and traditions we once knew.
Alrighty. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a doubleheader coming up again by Daniela.
My name is Daniela. I'm a senior at North, and this is my poem. We can't walk down our own neighborhood without being looked down on. They want our culture, but it's us they have the right to frown on. Innocence preyed on, it's all a setup made for us not to survive. Why should society be allowed to make this world impossible for us to live in? And this is my second poem. When the bridges we worked so hard to build have been burned down and remade on a foundation built on our backs. They will never acknowledge that the empires they have built are weak and will one day crack. Their ignorance gives them the right to look at us as aliens. When we walk down the street, we see people who are pale again. Everything is made for their benefit, even the bridges built on us. It is not for us to use according to the supremacists.
Yes, sir! Yes, sir! Hey, the next one's gonna be read by the gentle giant himself. Jeremiah, get on up here, my man.
My name is Jeremiah. I'm a sophomore at North High School.
Yes, sir!
I see a stable community that so many people put time into to make it look beautiful. I can hear laughter from the roller coasters, from the kids having a good time. A place where people take care of the community. The fact that people only see the bad side about the North side, it infuriates me because this is what I see. The fact that people see all the negative things about the North side shows that people don't know the true things about the North side.
Beautiful poem, beautiful poem. Our second and last one is gonna be read by the heart and soul of our class. Hope, give Hope some love.
Let's go, let's go. All right, my name is Hope. I'm a junior in North High School, and here's my poem. Our community, we are one together. We are a strong one, one that can make a change in this world. We are also a beautiful one, one we share our laughter, our joy, our frustrations, our tears. Although it's full of sweetness, there's also a bitter taste to it. Even when we're stronger than what our differences make us. Even when we are beaten to the ground, we lift each other up, because as a community, we don't let each other down.
So, thank you so much for coming out. Can we get one more round of applause for our Latinos in Action kids? All righty. We're going to do one more thing. It's something that we close out with every time, whether it's in my class or other classes. I'm going to give it over to Carlos, who's going to do our chants. When he says, si se puede, you are going to say? Oh, yeah. Some of y'all know that. Okay, all right. When he says, si se puede, you are going to say? Oh, yeah, that was weak, bro. You're going to say?
Si se puede.
All right. So we're going to start with a clap. When we're all clapping, Carlos is going to get on the mic. He's going to say it, and we're going to say it back. And if y'all got that? All right, here we go, Carlos.
Everybody, if you got two hands.
What you just heard was a selection of poems from the book Our Sacred Community, readings and poetry by North High students Martin Castañón, Daniela Urbina Valle, Jeremiah Perez Manzanares, and Hope Navarro Alvarez. You also heard the voices of student Carlos Rosas and teacher Tim Hernandez.
That was an audio collage from the presentation of the book Our Sacred Community, written by students at North High and coordinated by their teacher, Tim Hernandez. Students are walking out of North High tomorrow morning to call on the school's administrators to keep Hernandez on as a teacher. For KGNU, I'm Jimmy Searfoss.
It's time for Radio Nibbles with John Lindorf and his special guest today, Edwin Zoe, owner chef at Zoe Mama and Dragonfly Noodle. Welcome to the program this morning.
Good morning, Shannon. Beautiful day in Boulder, but I did want to pass along one little tiny news thing first. The intersection of Table Mesa and 36 in Foothills is completely gridlocked because of an earlier accident and apparently a carjacking. So you should avoid that area entirely because nothing is going through. You're welcome. Anyway, my guest this morning is Edwin Zoe. We've known each other for quite a few years. And welcome to KGNU. This is your first time, right?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
And he's a chef. He's the owner of Zoe Mama and a new restaurant next door, Dragonfly, and those same restaurants in Denver. And I guess the first question is how's the mama in Zoe Mama?
Oh, mama's doing well. She is nearing 80, so she's slowing down. She used to work work every day, but now she has scaled back to about three days a week. She still comes in and checks in on everybody, make sure everything's good. So.
That's I bet that's a wonderful presence.
It is really, really wonderful.
And Zoe Mama focuses on Chinese street food.
Correct.
Dumplings and noodle dishes and things that are, you know, pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
But you recently changed the name of the restaurant next door, which was called Chimera, and is now?
It's now Dragonfly Noodle.
And focuses on the noodle dishes from across Asia?
That's correct, yeah.
And you were mentioning one dish that was you thought was just...
Oh, yeah. Well, we have got several new dishes. And the one dish that I've been really enjoying is the black tonkotsu, which is the classic tonkotsu broth. But we add the black garlic oil, which we cook it until... Think of it as a really dark roast, like the darkest roast you can have. And then once the black garlic oil hits the tonkotsu broth, the garlic flavor just explodes. It's really, really good.
And then noodles and vegetables.
Fresh house-made noodle and cherry wood smoked pork belly.
Well, that sounds awfully delicious. To go a little more philosophical here, but why do we love noodles? Why do you love noodles? Why is it such a you know, sort of a universal favorite, but certainly in Asia?
That's an interesting question. For me, I think it just comes from our childhood. You know, ever since I was a child, eating noodle was always something that's associated with fun. You know, you slurp it, and it's long, it's, you know, wiggly and all over the place. And as we grow up, I guess we don't really grow up, and we just keep loving those dishes.
And that's my general philosophy. When I look at people, it's part of the reason why I can talk to anybody. I look at you, and I see a small child in a bigger body. Same thing with Shannon. You know, I can see the kind of child that you were and are.
With gray hair.
Yeah. Likewise, yes. But I, you know, I just, I love noodles. I have to, you know, be careful not to eat too many because it's so easy to, and so, you know, wonderful. So you're... this is sort of a different area, but you, Zoe Mama is at the corner of 12th. Is it
not, 10th
and Pearl?
Yeah,
and it and the business, the food businesses, and other businesses around there are facing a really, of course, sort of an existential problem because they blocked the street. And it's sort of to extend the walking mall, and it really it's kind of a big issue downtown right now. And what's the problem?
Well, the street closure happened during the emergency order during the pandemic, early stages of the pandemic, whereby indoor dining was banned. And that created a problem for a lot of restaurants. And to address that, they closed the street and provided...
this is that one, two blocks?
Yeah, two blocks between 9th and 11th. Then they closed it off under the pretext that it was supposed to help with outdoor dining. However, that indoor dining ban has been lifted in 2020, so right. You know, a year and a half ago. Yet they have kept the street closure in place, and the West Pearl restaurants, you know, really need the through traffic.
Well, and you were saying they've suffered disproportionately.
Absolutely.
Because people aren't coming.
That's exactly
so right. So it's 40% down?
Well, it's minus 40% on West Pearl with the street closure, and on East Pearl they have actually gained 40%.
Because the road is open, but there's more room for outdoor dining.
Yeah.
And so it's that rub between, commerce and convenience and stuff. We only have a little bit of time left. What's the best thing you've tasted lately?
Things I've tasted lately. The best thing I've tasted, Lucky's Cafe in Bakery has went through some changes. And they have... one of the best, I think the best huevos rancheros I've had with Christmas sauce and fresh made hash brown is just delicious.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Thanks for dropping by.
Well, thank you so much.
This is really wonderful. We hope to have you back. And thanks, everybody.
That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. Special thanks to Christian Garibay, Benita Lee, Luis Licon, Steve Miller, Jimmy Searfoss, Dave Ashton, John Lindorf, Edwin Zoe for their contributions to today's program. Stay tuned for Black Talk. That's coming up right after these news headlines from the BBC.